Hi, folks. It's Scott from buyandselldvc.com. Have you ever thought of giving your family a lifetime of Disney vacations? What if we told you you can lock in today's rate for the next 50 years? Again, that's buyandselldvc.com.
Hello, welcome to the Dub D Dub Review. I'm your host, Chris Malik, and I'm joined by my co-host, Stacy Nyman. Miss Stacy, it's good to see your smiling face again.
Nice.
How are you?
See you. I'm doing well. I'm getting ready to leave for Florida in a few days, and it's good.
You're doing better than I am, you know. So you're leaving for Florida. I'm here. No, this is not good. Hey, I saw you put a picture up, a post up about your t-shirts you created.
Yes.
Are all those your designs or did
no.
you? Because like the Tower of Terror one you did today, I was like, that's like smoking good. Like,
yes, I don't know. No, it's not my design. I've done a few for those of you who don't know, I have a Cricut machine that somebody gifted me and it's like the best gift of my life. And so I make t-shirts for my family and I find most of the designs on Etsy. And it's like usually they're like between 99 cents and $3 for a design. And then you just add it to the app and it prints it out. I've made a few myself and they just never quite work. And I don't have the patience to dive into exactly how to perfect that. Like I'd rather spend money and get it done in 5 minutes then spend 6 hours on one thing when I'm not interested in selling that design. So
understood.
Yeah.
Because that Tower of Terror one today was awesome.
It's a really nice one.
Yeah. And I have some shirts you made for me. You have the real Mr. Incredible, and I still wear that one. And then I have a Pirates of the Caribbean shirt from Disneyland that you made for me.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, I still have those that I wear in my regular rotation. So it's
and
awesome.
They, like, I've almost gotten to the point where the shirts don't peel like the vinyl because it's such a big learning process. The whole anytime you do anything new, but especially with crafting stuff. I made some Four Town shirts from Turning Red, and is that what? Four Town. I keep on calling it K Town, but it's Four Town. And when you layer vinyl, I didn't realize that bubbles sometimes happen, and so all three shirts have bubbles in them. And I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. It's a homemade shirt. I'm not selling them.
Exactly.
It is what it is. So that's enough. Like those are the types of things that, you know, you just have to kind of learn as you go and figure it out or just not care about those imperfections. So,
you know, it's kind of cool how you have like a craft like that, but like it becomes part of like what you look forward to on vacation.
Yes.
And like the weird Disney things that we involve ourselves about, I don't know, maybe 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I was big with, this is going to sound weird, Mod Podge.
Oh,
so,
yeah. Huh?
So
I
don't know if I went to like a flea market or a thrift store and I must have bought 500 old school like Disney magazines. And then I just started cutting pictures out and I would Mod Podge on like, I have on, there's one behind me, as a matter of fact, on like canvases. And then so it just became so relaxing, like in the morning to cut pictures out. And you're like, okay, this is going to be themed like Epcot from like 1982 to 1990. And it was just relaxing. So I completely get that.
Those are fun. I still have maps for you, by the way, from like 4 years ago sitting in my
drawer. Oh, well, that's important. My girl, Krista, she took care of me. She sent me some maps. So I'm good with my maps
now. I'm just going to hold on to the ones I have for you for like 15 more years. And then they'll be vintage.
Nice.
Then you'll be really excited to get those. So.
I'll be like, I can make my new Mod Podge with my new retro maps. Anyways,
exactly.
We've got a good show today. We're going to talk about the Flower and Garden Festival over in Epcot. But before we start, you know, in our notes, we always like, hey, let's make sure we talk about joining Epcot, and hey, let's make sure we talk about reviews, and hey, let's make sure we talk about the shows on Patreon. We forget that all the time. We're like the least professional show out there on the market right now.
We don't do a great job marketing ourselves.
Terrible.
That's okay. That's okay.
We're the worst. You know who we are. We've been on the air for 6 years, so you know who we are. But here's what we are asking for this time. And this is really important. So a member of our community, his name is John Kroll, and John's married to Katie, who is a super woman. So we'll just get to the case, to the chase. Katie was diagnosed with cancer, and she's fighting cancer right now. So we have created a GoFundMe page for the ongoing treatment, for things like childcare, for things like medical costs, for things like groceries. Heck, I don't care if it's for video game rental and like movies on demand.
Yeah, that's what I told John. I'm like, your kids are having a bad day. Your kids are having a good day. Take them to Target. Buy them each something. You know, these are the types of things that are so important right now. Correct. So
normal life, right? Normal life. So I can, if I had an hour show, I could literally fill that hour show up on John and Katie's smiles and the good things they've done. And they are genuinely some of the best people in the Disney community. John's also one of the co-hosts of the Disney Duck podcast, but John would never come on the air and ever ask for this at all, ever, to benefit his family. He simply would be too proud to do that. But you know what? We're going to do it for him because honestly, we love John and we love Katie. So if you can go to the Dubs page, go to Stacy's page, go to my page, go to anybody that's involved with the Disney community, and you're going to see a GoFundMe for John Kroll. I don't care if it's $1, $5, $100, anything you have can benefit them because honestly, what they're fighting right now, it literally would be the stuff that would make us all just have anxiety attacks and break down emotionally and cry. They need any help you can provide, and anything you can do would be greatly appreciated. I don't care if you don't ever give us a review, if you never like our Facebook page, if you never contribute to Patreon, if you did this, this would be all I would ever ask of you to do. So go to John and help out the Krolls. They need it. And as a member of our community, we want to help the best way we can. And this is what we can do right now. So,
absolutely.
Okay. That being said, let's talk about Flower and Garden. Have you ever been, Stacey, to the Flower and Garden Festival?
I have never been.
Okay.
And I'm really excited to be going for the first time. Like we've been at the very tail end of spring, like moving into summer, like right at the beginning of June-ish, middle of June, where there's been some topiaries that they keep up for a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we've got to experience a few of those. And every time I see them, they just bring me so much joy. But I've never been for the actual festival.
Okay.
Yeah.
I went like 3 years ago, but it happened to just be there. We decided to go to Epcot. And then it was the kind of thing where like, oh, you know what? We're going to catch right in the middle of Flower. So it wasn't like our intent. Some people go for the intent to watch Food and Wine.
Right.
It wasn't the intent. But I got to tell you, honestly, it was gorgeous. It was absolutely breathtaking and beautiful because the one thing that Disney really does well is outside of a festival, outside of making Epcot beautiful, it's the topiaries and gardens and landscaping.
Right.
So it's like the chance for like the, you know, the Imagineers to really like roll up their sleeves and say, let's do something special.
Yep, exactly.
So with you going, we figured we're going to talk about it. We're going to pull a lot of our information from the Disney page. We're going to talk about the food. We're going to talk about the topiaries, the gardens, the merchandise, the concerts. I don't know. Did you look at the concert? The acts
that are going to be?
Oh my gosh. Like, of course, now I'm an old guy, you know, so when I look at the acts, I'm like, those are my guys. Oh, wait a minute. Hang on. So we'll talk about the concerts there too as well. But I'm super excited for you to go and experience this. So,
and the really cool thing about Flower and Garden this year, I mean, this is what Epcot's doing, I think, is just trying to make the entire year a festival at some point, because it used to end in like May, I think, like officially, or maybe beginning of June. And it goes this year from March 2nd to July 4th were the dates that I got. Mm-hmm. And then I know that last year, at least, Food and Wine started around July 8th or something like that. It was while we were down there.
Yep.
For Epcot Family Vacation. So I think that they're doing the whole, like, let's stretch these festivals into one another, which honestly makes sense for them. It makes sense for the guests because there's always something to look forward to. And all their food booths that they have around the park, they don't have to get rid of them.
Yeah, genius.
Store them for a few months and then take them back out again. Correct. So it's just, you know, it's, I always was always kind of bummed when we'd always be there when there was no festival and you miss that. So I think it's really cool that they're adding these. I mean, I'm sure it's a money grab. It is a money grab, but it's still, I don't know. I like a festival. I'm a fun person.
You know what? I wouldn't even say money grab. It's just, it's smart business. Cause when you go to Epcot, honestly, when you think, okay, let's go around World Showcase. If you and I were walking World Showcase today, in the back of our mind, we're like, we're going to eat like kings. And mm-hmm. So here you can display that. And you're going to also see some of the most beautiful parts of Epcot. So,
and it probably really does help with the crowds too, because I know these festivals are huge draws for locals. And it stretches that out so that the locals don't have to all hoard the parks. You know, it's mm-hmm. it spreads it out for everybody. So that's a good thing too.
You are right though. The length of time, it almost is getting comical where it goes right from festival to festival. Mm-hmm. And in my own personal life, I always tell my kids that actually the Christmas holidays start my birthday. My birthday is August 19th.
Uh-huh.
And the reason why I say that is right at August 19th, about the end of August, we decorate for Halloween. We're like always the first person out. But then when Halloween comes down, Christmas goes up like the next day.
Right.
So really the holiday season starts on my birthday, which is the middle of August or late August. It's the same thing here. So you exactly. got a festival from March 2nd to July 4th, and then July to like, it's going to be right to like Christmas time. And then yep.
I don't even remember what the International Festival of the Holidays or something. And then it's the art festival.
Correct.
Yeah.
The season, the year of festivals over at Epcot. So
I like it.
All right. So we decided to go and break this apart because there's a lot of things here. If we pulled it right from the Disney page, disneyworld.disney.go.com, you're talking about topiary designs, exhibits, gardens, the food, the merch, different things you can do while you're there and the entertainment. So we figured we would just focus a little bit on everything to kind of get you excited for going. So you talked about topiaries earlier, yes. Stacey. So that is really cool. I mean, they work on these topiaries. I saw a special. They work on these topiaries for like 15 months in advance. They plan them to wire mesh and they grow them in slowly offsite and they bring them in. But they've got a ton of topiaries. I could literally list them to you. We're talking the Goofy topiary, the 50th anniversary topiary, Sorcerer Mickey, brooms, ostriches, the hippo and the gator. But there is so many. I want to quiz you. I just want to throw out some characters and figure out. Yeah, and it's going to put you on the spot, which you're going to, you know. So
you know how good I am with being on the spot.
Come on. Here we go. So if you wanted to see, let's just talk like Woody, Bo Peep, and her sheep are near the land pavilion. Mickey, Minnie, Donald, Daisy, Huey, Dewey, and Louie are by the bridge to the World Showcase. If you want to see Buzz Lightyear, where would he be located in Epcot? If you want to see Buzz Lightyear.
I would say somewhere in Future World.
Okay.
Is that what that's called? Oh, my goodness. I'm having like a brain.
We are. I do that all the time, too. I forget. Okay. But dial it in closer.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to say over by Mission Space.
That's my girl. All right. Mission Space. Okay. If you wanted to see Figment, where would you see Figment?
I think Figment might be... I think Figment has to probably be in Norway. No, I'm just kidding. Well, how about over by the Imagination Pavilion?
At a girl? All right. How about the Tres Caballeros? The three caballeros, Jose, Donald, and Panchito.
Mexico, I'm going to say.
All right. Anna and Elsa?
Norway.
How about the troll?
Also in Norway.
Look at you picking them up and putting them down.
Well, yeah, you throw anything Scandinavia at me, I've got this.
There you go. How about a dragon? Where would you see the dragon at?
I'm going to say China.
This one's in Japan. They threw you for a loop.
They went in order. That was my other guess, but you know.
They threw you for a loop. Okay, let's throw a couple wild ones at you here.
Okay.
Well, this one's actually relatively easy. How about Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs? Where would you see her?
Oh, goodness. Where is Snow? Is Snow White?
She appears in character.
Is she Germany? Mm-hmm. Is Snow White German?
Okay. I think they've retroactively usurped her into the German, into a fairy tale. And
when I think of Germany, I think of, isn't Aurora Germany?
Well, I just knew no Snow White because they put her in the woods and whatnot. So I think they brought her into Germany. All right. How about Beauty and the Beast?
Beauty and the Beast is France.
That's my girl. Look at you. Okay. How about Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy? You're going to have to work hard unless you've seen this picture. This one's a little different.
That is a little bit different.
I could give you some hints and I could put some connections together, but they wouldn't be nearly politically correct or appropriate here. I would say like roasted pig's knuckle. Yes, I just went there. Miss Piggy.
The American Pavilion.
No, come on. Think about this. Okay. I'm not sure what Kermit has to do with Oompa music, but roasted pig knuckle.
Germany.
Germany. That's not really a great combination.
Oompa music. You said that threw me for a loop there.
It's not good.
UK. Okay.
How about, no, you were right. Germany.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That is very.
It's a little different. They must have a nice display.
Would be over at the American Pavilion.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you? Like Muppets?
Yeah, as opposed to putting the pig outside of the Germany Pavilion, but we're just going to let it be, right?
Well, that's okay. I'm sure there's some reason for it. Maybe I'll ask and find out when I'm there.
Yeah, you can be like, well, what's up with this? So Peter Pan, Captain Hook, and the TikTok Croc is between two pavilions.
Okay. They would have to be UK.
Close. It says between UK and the Canada Pavilion.
Okay.
Okay. How about Winnie the Pooh and Friends? Where would they be?
They would also be in the UK. Are they back by that garden area or back by the little band shell area in the back there?
The hidden band pavilion all the way in the back?
That's
I'm not sure, but you're right.
Yeah.
How about Tinkerbell? Where would she be?
Also in the UK?
You're right. You're doing really good. Okay. And then the last one here, I got my list are Bambi and Friends. Now this one would throw you because it doesn't make sense to me why, but they must have space. That's why.
Over by the, Bambi.
It's not in the World Showcase.
It's not in the World Showcase. Mm-mm. Is it over? Is it by one of the
It doesn't make sense why. The answer will be like, huh, okay. This must be land. It must have land. It's the Imagination Pavilion.
Oh, okay.
So.
There's a lot of space over there. Yeah, that makes sense.
There's more, too, like Pluto and Chip and Dale by the American Adventure Pavilion. But, you know, the topiaries are always so beautiful, and they look so realistic. So on YouTube, if you catch a walkthrough, it's always one of the coolest things to see. Then they have these global gardens. So a lot of the pavilions have been responsible for creating their own global garden. So we won't go through them all, but the Chinese Zodiac Garden in the China Pavilion and a bamboo garden and then the Alpine Miniature Garden in the Germany Pavilion. But everyone seems to have their own little showcase in the pavilion, which is gorgeous. When I was there, the thing that caught me, actually, I visited with Michael and we went through like a butterfly garden. We just had to walk through it. Mm-hmm. And it was really cool. You know, I mean, butterflies have this very, very short lifespan and they're landing on you and they're like, don't swat them, just let them be. And it's really pretty cool when you have a kid.
And they have that again this year, I think I saw too.
You're right, they do. So they have a few different like global gardens. They have the Blossoms of Fragrance presented by who would present this?
Scentsy.
Right?
I just read about it.
Right? At the World Showcase Bridge. So everyone knows this about me. If this is your first time listening, like I'm a candle dude and I'm a Scentsy dude. We've got candles burning in the house right now. I am not afraid to admit that, but I have three smelly dogs in the house too as well. So it's like kind of like a required thing. So we get those. The Outdoor Escapes presented by Off Repellents in the World Discovery Area. So when I read that, I was like, wait a minute, hang on. So it's presented by Off, which is the insect mosquito repellent.
Right.
But in a weird way, it kind of makes sense in Florida because like Florida is literally a swamp and they've just built on the swamp. So I guess I kind of get that. And I don't know if you remember like from your childhood, not all bug spray smells like bug spray anymore.
Right.
Have you smelled them recently? It's like cologne you put on your body now. Yes. Every one of them they smell good. They have the floating gardens, which you've seen. They have the pots that float around in the water. So they have over 150 of those. And then they have just a flower bank alongside most of those lagoons in celebration of the 50th anniversary. Then they have Bambi's Butterfly House. You mentioned that. That's World Nature near the Imagination Pavilion. So I'm going to read you that one. That says, view a kaleidoscope of butterflies up close in all their extraordinary color. Learn about butterfly life cycles and maybe even see one emerge from its chrysalis. It closes at dusk. So it's really cool if you got little ones to go through there.
I am excited to do that. And I'm hoping that we are with our cousin Emily Erickson during that time while we're there, because she is terrified of butterflies.
Butterflies?
She's terrified of them. Fun to do stuff like that with her. And
hang on. How's a person terrified of butterflies?
I don't know, but I think we should maybe talk to her about this in Epcot, you know, post some good pictures as we do for Tamara and her love of peacocks. So
no one's terrified of butterflies.
Erickson is. So
all right, well, no judgment, but like, man alive.
No, we judge her. That's fine.
Okay, judgment on you, I guess. All right, the Honey Bistro, hosted by the National Honey Board. It's near the Imagination Pavilion. Learn about honeybees' critical role in the environment and enjoy sweet and savory treats made possible by their hard work. So, like, I work for the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County. And the thing that we always put out is the importance of honeybees.
Yes.
And you're like, I don't know if people, like, have heard this. And, like, we're not, like, tree huggers or, like, naturalists. Like, literally, when the honeybee population, like, declines or, like, is, like, extinct.
Yes.
People, every apocalyptic show you've ever seen will take place within a few years, because they literally are, like, the keystone species to making the world spin. Honeybees are the most important thing that we possibly have. So,
and they're such interesting animals. It's one of my, I could watch documentaries on honeybees and bees and things, like how smart they are and how it's just so cool to watch.
Yeah.
Like nature at work with that. Have you ever seen one of those hives that you had, like, the glass so you can see everything that's happened, like the transparent?
Yeah. Yeah.
Those are so cool. Like, I could also sit there and watch one of those for hours.
Kind of just like a video, like one of those, like, relaxation videos.
Yes.
So, but honeybees are, there's like about 8-9 varieties of things that look like honeybees, yellow jackets and wasps and cicada killers. They all look like yellow and black, but like none of them are really honeybees. Honeybees are fascinating because they are too fat to fly, but yet
they're so cute and fly, fuzzy,
right? They're not going to sting you. Leave the honeybees alone. You're literally going to destroy the planet. That's my public service message.
Yes.
All right. The Healthful Trail, presented by Advent Health. And that's, again, also by the Imagination Walkway. Tropical Rainforest Garden. Here we go. Mexico Pavilion. The extraordinary orchids at the Mexico Pavilion. And I can go on and on and on. Every pavilion has something beautiful. A spice garden by the Morocco Pavilion.
Was intriguing to me when I was reading about that. That looked really cool to be able to see.
100%. English Tea Garden, presented by the Twinings Tea Company. That sounds cool. The Shakespeare Garden by the UK Pavilion. How about this one? The Prehistoric Garden, World Discovery near Mission Space. Imagine life on Earth 65 million years ago with astounding plant life that's thrived since the age of dinosaurs.
Cool.
That's
really cool.
Right? That's cool. So these are just some of the topiaries and gardens you can see. Now, when you're like, hey, yeah, usually Epcot is really pretty. If you've not gone to see this, it's really worth it. Because after we left there and we just happened to like be like, hey, we can go to see. We were like, that's really cool. We need to come back and see this again. Yeah. So I'm super jealous of you right now. Anyways, tell me about the food. Get me fat here.
All right. So there's lots of different food booths at Food and Wine at Flower and Garden this year. And I've never been, like we've talked about, so I don't know if these have changed or not, but there's lots of them. And I was telling Chris before we started that I started taking all these notes and I had 3 full pages of notes and I'm going, why am I just rewriting what somebody else wrote? So I'm actually on the Disney food blog right now, which is a good place to go if you want to learn about Disney food. And I'm just going to kind of go booth by booth and do a little of this or that with Chris. If you don't know Chris, he is a vegetarian, so he's going to have to use his imagination here as well, because it would be basically like, do you want this vegan option or you can have that vegan option? That's all there is.
You want a lever or a stick to eat, Chris?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So he's going to have to just play along here. So the first one is the Bauern Market, which I'm going to assume is near Germany because it's seems to be all that kind of food. Chris, would you rather have
Please say pig knuckle.
Warm cheese strudel with mixed berries.
Oh, man.
Or a toasted pretzel bread topped with Black Forest ham and melted Gruyere cheese.
Oh, man. So, like I want to say the cheese strudel because it doesn't have meat in it. But honestly, like, I'm a huge fan of pretzel bread for anything. I can give me pretzel bread with a piece of Kraft American cheese, and I'd be like, pretzel bread. That's what I want. So that's my choice.
It looks delicious. And everything at this booth for food is in between $4.75 and $5.75. So it's like it's very, seems very affordable. And the photos, if you go on Disney Food Blog, you can click on each booth and they have a photo of every food item. So you can see the sizes and things. Obviously, sizes will vary. And then, of course, every booth also has beverages. And this one, it seems like they all pretty much have a beer flight. But this one, I cannot pronounce it. But it's the Apfel Schaumwein, which is the sparkling wine and apple liqueur. And that's a $10 option. So I'm kind of thinking that I might be going around the world and maybe trying some drink items this coming up weekend, which is really funny because on a race weekend, usually we're there for marathon weekend. So we're like, we have to just kind of keep our diet very bland, no alcohol until after we're done with the races. And I'm like, the longest race is 10 miles. That's nothing. We can do whatever we want. Everything, it's all fine. So this might be a mistake, but
Stacey, are you more of a sweet drink like that, or like are you a beer person?
My tastes have really changed over the years. So I like both. I'm not really a wine person. I do like sweet white wine. I don't like red wine very much, but I tend to go for like the ciders, the beers, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Okay. And like, now that you say that, I'm thinking about things and I'm thinking about like daiquiris and margaritas and stuff. I like those. And I think I want to like those more than I actually do. So I think I'm more leaning toward the beers as I get older. So
the sweet drinks though, in at least in my mind, when you're walking around, it's hard that you get that in your blood system so quick because of the sugar content.
Yes.
And then you're trying to eat with that. And right. It seems to be like it's just a really hard combination.
Too much. Where, and then the heat and everything. Correct. Yeah. Yep. Correct. So then we're going to move on to the Cider House, which, I mean, can you imagine what they might have at the Cider House? There's only two food options there. So this is an easy one. There's a BLT scone with smoked bacon, sun-dried tomato, and basil. Or a dark chocolate raspberry tart with whipped cream.
Okay, even though it has bacon in it, I'm going to go with the BLT scone only because, like, if you just told me I was going to have something to eat and I needed to be able to maintain myself throughout the day, I can't load up with, like, a dark chocolate raspberry. I'm going to be bouncing off the wall by France and then depressed and sad quickly, you know, in Morocco.
Yep.
I'm a huge fan of scones, too. I've never had a savory scone. You know, I know they have cheddar cheese and jalapeno scones and whatnot, but I've never had a savory scone. So
yeah, that seemed like a really good option. Those prices are also very reasonable. $4.50 for the scone, $5 or $5 for the scone, $4.50 for the tart. Mm-hmm. Their beverages are very intriguing though. There were a couple of them that I might be looking at. One of them is the Three Daughters Brewing Pink Lemonade Hard Cider. That looked really good. I like lemon stuff. And then there's also the Bold Rock Watermelon Hard Cider. My husband is opposed to watermelon, like you would not believe. So if I don't want to share, that might be one for me to go for.
Hang on. He's opposed to watermelon.
He hates watermelon with a passion.
Fresh or candy or anything?
And so it's really fun to give him candy and have it be watermelon on purpose. And then
have you thought about a divorce, Stacey? I just wanted to,
no,
have you thought about
but
this?
But it's more for me. So that's good. I don't have to share any watermelon.
Before you go, I want to actually give one piece of information here. That Three Daughters Brewing, the pink lemonade and hard cider. I am a sucker for drinking and eating food that's local.
Yes.
So this one is made in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I love consuming things that are made either in the state or local. So yeah, you know, whenever I go down to Florida, I'm always, well, I had you bring me back beer that, you know, so I would definitely try that just because it's made in St. Petersburg.
Yeah, it looks really good. I think I might be trying that one. Then we're moving on to the Citrus Blossom. You have the choice between the tuna tataki bowl with, okay. Oh my goodness, with spicy yuzu glaze, mango, avocado, and a papadam crisp. Or you can go for the grapefruit tart, which is grapefruit curd, lychee jam, ginger mousse, and yuzu cream.
Okay, so I'm going to make my choice here. And you think, oh, well, you could have tuna, Chris. I'm going with the grapefruit tart because I can't imagine that tuna sitting in my belly early in the morning and then trying to muscle out the next 10 hours of the day. I'm just, this is the law of diminishing returns, and I got to go with the safe option here at this point. The grapefruit tart is my choice.
Mm-hmm. All right, and I do want to give it a disclaimer about my pronunciations. I'm so sorry. I read a lot, and so when I read, I often have not been pronouncing words correctly my entire life, and then I hear them out loud, and I'm blown away. So please forgive me if I'm mispronouncing any of these things.
Stacey, all right, this is the Dubs. People have listened to us for 350 episodes. They're used to us butchering words. Don't worry.
Good. Perfect.
People accept that. Okay.
Beverages at this one. This is where you're going to get your souvenir orange bird sipper if you're after that, with the orange lemon smoothie. And that's a non-alcoholic drink. They do have limit 2 per guest. They're $15 each. I got the orange bird sipper at the Food and Wine last year. This is a different cup, though. Kind of similar, but different. But that's where that highly sought-after sipper is going to be located, at the Citrus Blossom. And another interesting one is the Isla Madura Key Lime Hibiscus Ale. I think I do like the fruited beers, and so that seems like that would be really a good one to try too. Actually, all of them here: the Citrus Honey Cream Ale, the Orange Sunshine Wine Slushy.
Stacey, that Isla Madura Beer Company. Mm-hmm. I've got it in my fridge right now. I don't have the Key Lime Hibiscus Ale, but I've got it in my fridge right now, and it's fantastic. It's fantastic. It's just a citrus ale. It's really good.
Good. Yeah, it looks really good.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going on to the Epcot Farmer's Feast. Would you go for the chilled potato and leek soup with chive oil and crispy leeks? That is a gluten-free. Actually, that doesn't say. Oh, I would assume that would be a vegetarian option. Gluten and wheat friendly, it says. Or the goat cheese creamsicle pop.
Okay. Hang on. Repeat. There was a goat cheese creamsicle pop.
Yeah. So let me give you the description. It's goat cheese, cremeau, orange cream, olive oil cake, and cranberry sauce and praline.
Oh, man.
When you see something like that, though, like those ingredients just look like they would not be good, but it probably somehow kitchen chemistry happens and it's amazing.
So the first one you said is chilled. So yes. I get it. It's cold.
Yes.
And the second one, you're right. Like when you're talking about goat cheese and creamsicle, but you know what? I'm going to go with that. I would go with the goat cheese creamsicle pop just because it's been tested in a chef's kitchen and they said, this is good enough to put out to the masses. So yes. I'm going to go with that one.
Good. And so a little note with this booth, this is the Epcot Farmer's Feast. They have three menus for food. The one that I just read off of is the early bloom menu, and it goes through April 9th. Another menu starts April 10th through May 21st. And then the third one goes May 22nd through July 4th. So they give you a little bit of variety as you're going through.
Probably based upon what's fresh during that time period.
Okay. Exactly. So that was really interesting. And also it gives people who are, you know, frequent returners something more to look forward to. Their beverages, they have a raspberry lemon verbena, whole leaf steeped sparkling hard tea, and a hibiscus lemonade cocktail featuring hibiscus gin. So both of those, one of them is $9. Oh, $5 for the 6 ounce, $9 for the 12 ounce. The lemonade cocktail is $11.
Stacey, so much for just ordering an iced tea off the menu. I'm not knocking Disney. Listen, let's count these words. It's a collective arts, raspberry lemon, verbena, whole leafed, steeped, sparkling iced tea. You could not possibly have more words to describe a drink.
Almost feel like going and recording myself ordering off the menus and saying them exactly as they are listed on the menu and seeing what people's reactions are.
I want you to do it after a few margaritas, and I want you to hear those words just flow.
And say it very seriously. I would like the.
Blah, 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 blah.
Yes, all right. The next booth is the Epcot Sunshine Griddle. So would you go for the shrimp and grits, which is blackened shrimp and cheddar cheese grits with brown gravy and sweet corn salsa, or the fried cinnamon roll bites with cream cheese frosting and candied bacon?
Okay. I'm going to go with the option you didn't give me because one of my favorites on this menu.
Perfect. Good. Add some more variety.
Yeah. One of my favorites. And I don't know when I started eating this, but one of them is avocado toast with marinated toy box tomatoes on toasted ciabatta. And I love avocado toast. It's one of my favorite things to eat.
So. It's really good. And that's a good choice. Beverages. This is a super intriguing beverage. This is what I guarantee Scott Nyman is going to buy this beverage. The Fruit Loops Shake. Non-alcoholic. $4.75. He's going to get it. Guarantee it.
Or it's
right up his alley.
Give me the next one too.
Coffee cold brew. This is what I'm gonna do. Can I please have a Joffrey's cold brew coffee cocktail with milk, rum, and coffee liqueur and vanilla vodka, please?
The Fruit Loop shake sounds good, but it just sounds thick in the middle of the day. So I might go with the Joffrey's coffee. So
I think that I would as well, especially since, you know, the other one's non-alcoholic, and if I'm doing this, I'm doing it, you know. All right. The next one is the Flavorful Kitchen hosted by Advent Health. Okay. Would you go for the grilled street corn in the cob?
Always. I don't even need a second choice. Okay, I love street corn and I love corn in the cob.
Perfect. Good. Mm-hmm. The two beverages are very interesting. Blood Orange Agua Fresca, non-alcoholic. The other one's also non-alcoholic. Cookie Butter Worms and Dirt. I want to see how they make that into a beverage.
Is that a shake? I've
seen worms and dirt when
it's a shake, maybe?
Maybe. Like, I feel like that would be more of a pudding. So I'll be interested in seeing what that is.
I'll go with you.
All right.
Order two of them.
The next one is the Fleur de Luce.
No, Fleur de Lay.
Fleur de Lay.
Here, this is what it is, Stace. See my cup?
Well, that was convenient. He happened to have a cup right there.
I got you. Okay.
Very good. Okay. So, oh my gosh. There's a lot of French on this menu here.
I need to hear it. I need to hear you say it.
Are you going with the cheese croissant? Are you going with the cheese crescent or that like donut thing with the powdered sugar on it? The baguette?
The whole audience wants to hear you go through this menu word by word.
I'm not doing it.
All right. Well, I'm a sucker for the croissant or fromage, so yes. I'm going to go with that one.
It looks delicious.
The Kronenbourg 1664 draft beer, I often have Kronenbourg in my fridge.
Oh, uh-huh.
So the audience is like, Chris, I thought you didn't drink beer. You've got 19 varieties of beer in your fridge. All of a sudden, the whole veneer of it has to have it, right?
Okay. All right. The next booth is the Hanami booth. So this is where you're going to get the frushi. Would you rather have the frushi or the beef takoyaki? That's another, the same word. Same word.
Poor Stacy. I gave her the frushi. I'm going to go with the frushi. I've never had it, but I want to try it.
Yeah.
I never had it.
I've seen a lot of photos of it, so I think I will like to try that as well.
Hang on. Strawberry, pineapple, and cantaloupe wrapped in sweet rice and a pink soy wrap served with whipped cream, drizzled berry sauce, and toasted coconut. Like, yeah, that sounds really good.
And it's a really fun presentation that they do with it, too. Fun drink at this one is the cucumber cooler. Sake, vodka, cucumber garnished with a cucumber slice.
Have you ever had sake in your life, Stacey?
I think I've had a little tiny taste.
I never have.
Yeah, but that seems like it'd be pretty refreshing. I know sake can kind of, does it like burn going down? But having the cucumber seems like that would be a nice little balance there.
Next time you come over, bring a bottle of sake with you.
Oh, we'll do that. So Chris, there's like about a lot more booths to go through. Should I just...
pick one. You just pick one from each menu.
I'm still scrolling here. Okay, I'm going to pick one more, but I would highly encourage everybody to go to the DisneyFoodBlog.com. They do such a great job with their presentation, and they do so much research to get all this information out to everybody. So give them a visit and look at these booths. I'm going to pick. Okay, what I'm going to do is I'm just going to scroll. And I'm
hang
going
on, Stace. Let's do this. So, how about you go to the Honeybee Bistro? You pick one item, and then I'll do the next menu, and we'll skip all the way to the end. We'll keep on
good
going.
Good plan. Okay. Good plan. Honeybee Bistro, hosted by the National Honey Board. If I were going to this booth, I would absolutely pick the local wildflower honey mascarpone cheesecake. I will take a cheesecake any day of the week. That looks delicious.
Okay, the and I'm going to screw this up because it's a J from the Mexico Pavilion. The Jardín de Fiestas at the Mexico Pavilion.
I can tell you that one.
Okay. Great. Now you chimed in. All right. I'm going to go with the, let me see here. I'm going to go with the Tostada de Chorizo. And that's a plant-based. I picked a plant-based item.
Oh, how about there you that? Go. Good.
Bring one up for me. The Tostada de Chorizo, the plant-based chorizo and black beans on a crispy corn tortilla with avocado mousse and queso fresco. Okay.
That looks delicious. The La Isla Fresca. I'm going to pick the arepas topped with melted queso fresco.
Sounds like a winner to me.
That looks delicious.
The Lotus House at the China Pavilion. There's only two options. You get the spicy chicken skewer or the house-made cheesy crab wontons. I'm picking the cheesy crab wontons.
Yeah, I would as well. That's a little bit of a steep price for that one, but it's crab, I guess. $7.75. Mm-hmm. The Magnolia Terrace. I am going to go with, you know what? I've never tried this, but I've always wanted to. The Southern Seafood Boil with the shrimp, mussels, crawfish, potatoes, corn, and andouille sausage. I've always seen people have those like parties at their house where they put like the plastic on the table and they just load everything onto the table and everybody eats it. That seems like it would be a little fun thing to. Probably really messy though.
Really messy.
Yeah.
How about the Northern Bloom in the Canada Pavilion? I'm going to go with the dessert. I'm going to go with the griddled maple pound cake with warm peach compote and a sweet corn gelato.
Nice. The Pineapple Promenade. I'm going to skip the two food items, but I'm going to go down to the beverages. And I think that I'm going to try. I know that I said that I wasn't a fan of wine, but that Florida Orange Grove's sparkling pineapple wine seems really intriguing.
Well, let's go back up for 1 second. So, the spicy hot dog with pineapple chutney and plantain chips. Stacey, I'm a fan of pineapple.
Yeah.
Though, and I'll document this here on the show. I largely think the Dole Whip is a little overrated in Walt Disney World, but I love pineapple on things. I haven't had a hot dog in over 17 years. I just don't have them anymore. And even the vegetarian version of a hot dog is no bueno.
Yeah.
It is no bueno.
You don't want to waste calories on something that you're not. Yeah.
But the pineapple on something like a hot dog, it actually sounds good to me. The sweet, savory combination. Mm-hmm. What do you say about things like that? What do you say on pineapple on things like this?
I do. I like pineapple on things. And pineapple is one of the only exceptions that I do make for sweet and savory. I'm not a huge sweet and savory fan, but I do like pineapple.
Okay.
Something about that. I think it's probably acidic enough or something.
It is. You know, I'm not going to go back to the pineapple on pizza, which I'm a fan of, but somehow it is. It's that acid mixed with the dairy or the combination that makes it feel like, oh, that's really good on both sides.
Yeah, so, I agree.
Okay. All right, you're up. Or is it me? It's my turn? You.
Yep.
All right, the Primavera Kitchen at the Italy Pavilion. I'm going to go with the arancini, which is the fried risotto ball stuffed with braised beef served with grape, tomato salad, and balsamic emulsion. They often make those without meat. So we actually have those at the house somewhat and regularly.
That's an interesting one too, because that one is $14, but it's snack eligible. So you have all of these that are, you know, $4.75 snack eligible. This is a great bang for your buck as a snack eligible thing. And I think that they are... Now that I'm thinking about it, that's a dining plan thing though, right? I wonder why they're putting.
It's interesting. We have to do a little bit of research on that.
Interesting. Maybe they have a program going on for, I know sometimes they do those cards. Anyway, refreshment port. There's not a whole lot at the refreshment port. But after all this heavy food, I think the blueberry lemonade soft serve seems very delightful. It gotcha. Seems almost like that would be like a sorbet or something like that.
How about we go to the Trowel and Trellis, hosted by Impossible. So everything on this menu right here is a vegetarian option. Stacey, have you tried the Impossible burger and the Impossible like stuff?
I have tried a few different versions of it.
Yes or no? What do you think?
I have not been, I like them. Yeah. So like the one that I really like, honestly, is the White Castle Impossible burger.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
They're good.
Yeah, they are.
They're really good. But yeah, I've tried a few different options.
Stacey, 17 years ago when I started doing this, it was literally like, here's shoe leather.
Yeah.
Put this on a bun. This is your vegetarian burger. The vegetarian products in the market now, like Impossible and Beyond Beef, are so good. Like, you could literally sit down and, I mean, a person that's like, oh, I can eat. I love eating right. red meat. Yeah, you would, well, maybe you'd know the difference, but if you were just looking for a burger and you cooked Absolutely. It the right way, it's right. really good. It's really good. So if you haven't tried it, if you're there, don't shy away from that. Try it. You'll be like, this is a really good thing. But I'm dying to figure out here, the boneless Impossible Korean short rib. Now that I've said like Impossible is good, I wonder how they're going to pull that off.
Right.
With cilantro, lime rice, danmuji slaw, and kimchi mayonnaise. I'm also a huge fan of mayonnaise. Stacey, are you a mayonnaise person or Miracle Whip? I got to know right now. What's the answer?
Both. It depends what? On what it depends on what it is. I'm not, it's not the condiment of choice that I really go for, but like,
I don't
if
even
I'm
know
having
you
like a salami sandwich. It's Miracle Whip. If I'm having tuna, it's regular mayo.
I question everybody that says Miracle Whip in this sentence. I just question people.
It's just, yeah, that we had Miracle Whip more growing up in my house than we did Hellman's. Oh,
okay.
But I still never, it's rare if ever that I actually use it. Our mayo expires well before we use it in our house. So
really?
Yeah. We just don't really grab for it.
Stacey, mayonnaise is the condiment of choice in our house with French fries, with frites. Me and Beatrice go through like a ridiculous amount of mayonnaise with like, it's on freaking pizza. What are we doing here? We're like, what's wrong with us? So anyways, I'm sorry. Okay.
That's okay. And then the last thing is you get into all of the different Joffrey's carts, and each one of them has a special different, drink at it, which it's really, are you a Joffrey cart fan? Do you like to go look for their specialty beverages?
Not really. So I like Joffrey's coffee, but it's not my coffee of choice. Mm-hmm. So I don't gravitate to it as if I have to have it. You know, I mean, if it's hot and it's fresh, I will drink it, you know, and I like the brews that are like, I love the Wave. They make a blend for the Wave restaurant. It's really good, but I'm not going to go and seek it out.
Yeah. So. We're like, we like to go, it's a novelty thing for us when we're there. Like we mm-hmm. like to go, let's go to Joffrey's like right when we get there in the morning. And we don't ever just get like a nice coffee. We usually will go for whatever one of the specialty drinks is. Mm-hmm. So it's a fun thing. I like how they do that at Disney, how they have different ones at each booth that you can kind of go and see. Like over by Toy Story Land, they have like the Woody's Roundup latte or whatever. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're not very good, but it's still fun to get and try.
Still fun. Stacey, let's skip really quickly here because we're going to run long here. Let's go to the Garden Rocks concert series and just talk about some of the cool acts that are coming to the Garden Rocks concert series.
Absolutely. So there are a lot of really, I had it all pulled up too.
Well, they're only playing for like two nights and like three nights. So they've got, when I started scrolling, I was like, really? Because some of these bands are like bands that I heard my brothers playing vinyl for, like the Guess Who, and then Rick Springfield.
Yes.
Cool in the Gang is there.
The Pointer Sisters.
Right, doing the Neutron Dance. The members of the Electric Light Orchestra, which are now just called the Orchestra, which I'm assuming doesn't have Jeff Lynne playing with them. He was the lead singer.
Happening now. Like that's what's going on over this weekend is that group.
Stacey, Don McLean, what song does he sing?
American Pie.
That's my girl.
Yeah. That's one of my running songs that always comes up when I'm running a race. And it's great because it's like 8 minutes. And I'm like, okay, getting through this song is like almost a mile. I could run almost a mile in American Pie.
Stacy's still trying to figure out what the Chevy is doing at the levee at this point. She just can't figure that one out.
Why is it there?
It's also important to the movie Black Widow. It's what the Red Guardian sings to Yelena, you know, both when she was a kid. Yeah, exactly. Then they've got part of Starship. Stacy, a band that may take your breath away. Which band is that? Come on. Come on.
Band that meant, I don't
take
know.
Take my breath away. Come on. Which band?
Blood, Sweat, and Tears.
Berlin. Oh, come on.
I was just reading what the next one was.
Come on. All right. The Commodores. The Commodores, I think, featured Lionel Richie when he was very young.
I think that you're right.
So they're there. Which band would have make you run so far away? Which band? Come on.
Oh, is this another music? Is this another song thing?
Yes. A one-hit wonder.
A Flock of Seagulls.
That's my girl.
That would make me run far away.
There you go. The Little River Band. Let me see.
Herman's Hermits.
Something tells me I'm into something good. The Herman's Hermits. Yeah.
And Plain White Tees. I think that they did. Were they the ones that did the Hey Delilah song?
Hey, I think you're right. Delilah. I think you're right.
Yeah.
And which song would make you want to pull out your lowrider? My friends have war.
War would.
Yes, war. Stacey's like, you've heard this song. I guarantee it.
I've heard lots of songs, and I can usually sing them a little bit. But yeah, I have a hard time connecting names to songs.
We have officially like just warped over there. They have probably a good 70 bands, maybe 60 bands playing, and we've warped over a ton. We didn't mean to cause any disrespect of anybody. But there is a ton of acts playing there, as well as merchandise, as well as things
Yep. And I just wanted to highlight some of like the fun activities that you can do real quick. You can do Spike's Pollen Nation Exploration. It's one of those scavenger hunts, where if you find all of the different things, I'm assuming you're finding Spike the bee around, and you could bring it back and get a little prize when you're done with that map. The Garden Graze, another map that if you get certain menu items from certain booths, you bring it back and you get a prize for that as well. There's the Beacon of Magic on Spaceship Earth. They're doing that show on Spaceship Earth, which I'm so excited to see. And for Food and Wine, they are featuring Pocahontas Colors of the Wind. And then the Jammin' Gardeners on the Canada stage, doing a fun percussion show. So those are kind of just some of the fun other entertainment things in addition to the concert series.
Including this egg hunt, right? They always have this egg. It's called the Extravaganza, right?
The scavenger. That's right.
Correct.
Is that, I didn't see that in the thing. So yeah, that's cool. So they probably have two different scavenger hunts that you can choose from. Awesome.
Stacy, let me bring you back here for a second. Pocahontas, the music for Pocahontas, where does it rank in your mind as far as like importance and whatnot? And even the movie itself. Some people
really
love it, some people
love
hate it.
That soundtrack. When I was in high school, Pocahontas, Little Mermaid, and Beauty and the Beast, I would just have playing all the time in my cool yellow CD
Sports.
Walkman. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So I love that soundtrack. That's a really
Pocahontas.
I think I love the soundtrack
the
way more than I love the actual movie, which is the case for me for a lot of things. But
the Pocahontas music is amazing. It's amazing. It's beautiful. It's right. So also Cocoam, that poor guy, he was robbed. I mean, that poor guy, that we need justice for Cocoam. I'm just going to leave it right there that he was treated wrong.
Hashtag.
He was done wrong. anything else? Because like, I'm super excited to see your pictures because I know it's going to be beautiful. You're going to have some awesome
pictures.
Doing this
podcast, like I am really excited to try. Like, I think I do have to go strategically now and mark some things that I want to try and actually take some videos and pictures of it to show that we've talked about, because it's gotten me more interested in doing it. So
will you go live a few times, at least in Epcot?
Are you kidding me? Of course I will go live. Most of my live videos will be of the camera bouncing up and down as I'm running. Yes. But I'll try to do some other ones where I'm not actively moving in a very slow way, but still.
I need to talk to Scott too. I need a live video after you've had a drink or two and you're trying to pronounce things the menu from
Scott France. Like wants to run and hide whenever I take the phone out. So I was like, oh gosh. But then he, like, if I pan to him, he smiles so nicely. But I'll have two of our kids with us too. So we'll have Ethan and Sophie with us for part of the time. So we'll see if they will humor me and do a live thing with me. So,
all right. So hang on. This would be the end of our Disney portion, but we're going to go on for 3 minutes more because I got one follow-up question for you. If you're cool with it. I understand you're showing Ethan University of Tampa. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay.
He's already been. He went with Scott earlier in the year. And this is kind of, I'm sure the principal of our school is not listening to this, but they get excused absences for college visits.
Okay.
And we never turned in his excused absence. So he got an unexcused absence when he was there last time.
Okay.
So we're going to do it again and take new pictures and now actually submit this for his excused absence for his college visit. So
nice.
It's legit. Like we are going to be visiting the school and walking around and stuff, but
I understand
it'll just be his second time doing it. So
nice. Nice. Is this a serious contender?
He has decided that he wants to stay close to home.
Okay.
He's really into art and he's really good at art. And so he would love to go someplace like Columbia for art, but we're not sure if he will be able to get into someplace like that. So that's where I think his focus is going to be. But I think he's just going to stay close to home. We've asked if he would seriously consider living on campus wherever he goes, because I do think it's important for him to be able to get the college experience. He's an introvert like myself, and that was really healthy for me to be
good push
away from home.
Okay. Well, that's really awesome. I'm gonna love following along. Stacey, I love following along your life no matter what, you know. So if it's not a Facebook post, it's a text or a direct message.
Exactly.
So anyways, all right, so if you've listened today and you've been at Flower and Garden, you've got a tip for Stacey, shoot it out to us. Let us know. It's EDCOT, EDCOT. If you've not joined us, it's EDCOT, EDCOT. And again, forget the review, forget the Patreon, forget the liking, forget the sharing. Find the post, please. Yes. I am pleading with you. Find the post for our buddy John. John's a member of the Disney community, and that means something when we say the word Disney community. Find him. If it's a dollar, if it's five, if it's anything that you can spare, we would be so appreciative. That would mean something to us. So,
absolutely. Please.
Okay. So for my friend, Stacey, and for myself, we'd like to thank you. And we want to wish you a great day. Bye, everybody.
Bye, everyone.